Verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, and to temperance, I can't get that word out. And to temperance, patience. Patience. Why is that so tough for all of us? Maybe you're the exception tonight. Maybe you're that one that's just a very patient person. I know folks that know me casually think I'm a very patient person. But my wife knows me better. And she will have to tell you that it's not always that way. And patience is a hard thing to work on. I like the little illustration we've got to begin this. The preacher was anxiously pacing the floor of his office when the secretary came in. "What's the problem?" she asked. And the pastor answered, "The problem is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And isn't that the truth? God, I want patience and I want it now. Give it to me now. The Jewish people waited 4,000 years for their Messiah to show up. 4,000 years. God is patient. We've been waiting 2,000 years now for the Son of God to return. God is patient. He's not in a hurry. He's not like we are. You've probably heard me say this before, but the guy was talking to the Lord and said, "Lord, what is time to you?" And the Lord said, 1,000 years as a day. And he said, "Lord, what is money to you?" He said, $1,000,000 is as a penny. The guy thought about it a minute, said, "Lord, can I have a penny?" And the Lord said, "Sure, give me a day to get it together." The Lord is patient. Aren't you glad that He is? We'd be in a lot of trouble if God wasn't patient with us. So we thank the Lord for that. Let's look first of all tonight, number one, at the definition of patience. Thank you, sir. The definition of patience. The word patient or patience is in the Bible 43 times. The word patient is only in there 9 times. That was kind of surprising to me, but the word patience is there 34 times. And that would make a good Bible study for you on your own. We don't have time to, we've got several verses listed here, but obviously no way we can get through all of those verses. But that's a good Bible study to look through the times the word patient or patience is used in the scripture. You can get a concordance, you know, the big book kind, or I've got one on my computer now that makes it easy to look them up. But you can look up those words in a concordance and then look at the references and read the verses. And it'll be a very, take your time and be patient when you do it. And it'll be a very good Bible study. Also, the word long-suffering is there 17 times. And the word long-suffering is synonymous with patience. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise toward us, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." 2 Peter 3:9. He's long-suffering. What does that mean? He suffers long. He puts up with a whole lot. Before you got saved, God put up with a whole lot that He didn't have to put up with. Since you've been saved, God puts up with a whole lot that He doesn't have to put up with. He's a patient God. He's long-suffering. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines patience as endurance, notice the next word, without murmuring or fretfulness. See, endurance with murmuring and fretfulness is not patience. When we go through a trial, when we go through a disappointment, when we go through a situation and we're murmuring and complaining, that's not patience. But when we endure without murmuring or fretfulness, that is what patience is all about. Do you feel yourself in need of patience tonight. Notice James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 is there on the paper tonight. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. We read in Hebrews 11 that some were sawn asunder. Tradition tells us that's how the prophet Isaiah died. He was put into a log, and the log was sawed in half. And yet he did it with patience. We read about Stephen being stoned in the book of Acts, yet he did it with patience. We read about Paul and Silas in the prison, having been whipped and beaten and thrown in there. And at midnight, they're singing hymns and praising God because they had patience. Patience is not something that you have when you don't need it. We can brag all about having patience, but the real test is when the situation comes that puts it to the test. It says that the prophets have suffered as an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, it's not just somebody goes through a difficult situation and their faith and their patience bring them through it. Other people look at them like they're senile. Other people look at them like they're crazy. How can you not be exasperated? How can you not be murmuring and complaining with what you're going through? We count them happy which endure. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So unlike the world, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. I've just finished reading the book of Job recently. I'm in Psalms now, but I read in Job. And that verse, in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And all that he went through. Isn't that amazing? All right, he had patience. And he saw that the end of the Lord, that is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God gave to Job double everything he had before because he went through his test with patience. So the definition of patience as defined in the Word of God. Then number two, the demand for patience. The demand for patience. The scripture commands us to develop patience. All right? As Christians, we cannot make excuses for our lack of patience. Sometimes when we're not patient, we just say, well, that's just not me. I'm just not a patient person. We can't blow it off like that. We can't make excuses for our lack of patience to God. Now we can make excuses to other people, but God's not buying it because God demands of us to have patience. We can't say, well, you know, my parents were impatient and I just got that from them. We can't make excuses for it. God wants us to be patient. He said this, add to your faith patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. We like that part. Comfort the feeble-minded. Boy, do we have a big job ahead of us. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Be patient toward, that's a command. That's not a request. It's a command. Be patient toward all men. Some folks we find it easy to be patient with, or easier to be patient with. Others we don't find it easy to be patient with. But we're to be patient with all men. That's the demand of God. James chapter 5 verse 8 says this, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be ye also patient. Write down these other references under here if you would. I'll go ahead and turn to them and read them for time's sake. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's a command of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. The Bible says, "For you have need of patience." How'd the Lord know that? "For ye have need of patience after that ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise." You have need of patience. One more verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I like this one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8. "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." And then the last half of the verse says, and "better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit." Better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. The Bible gives us a demand for patience. I'm going to take a lot of long pauses here to see how patient you can be. The Bible gives us a demand for patience. Number three, there's the demonstration of patience. There are many examples in the Bible of patience. We've talked about some already. Job, Paul and Silas, talked about Stephen. We've mentioned already the prophets such as Isaiah and many others. Abraham was a man of great patience, following the Lord's leading. Have you ever gotten ahead of God? Have you ever done something and then realized that when you did it, that wasn't what God wanted you to do, and if you'd waited a little bit longer, He'd show you? You know, there, patience and procrastination can sometimes be mistaken one for the other. And you and I have to self-decide which one it is we're really doing. When my wife wants the sink fixed and I don't do it, I can't pass that off as patience. That's procrastination. Because the sink isn't going to, you know, I'm just giving it some time. Maybe it'll fix itself. No, it's not going to fix itself. So in the situations and circumstances of life, we have to decide for ourselves when it's patience. Sometimes it's a situation you are being patient in. Something in that you're waiting for God's answer, where outside of that, some will say, well, you're just procrastinating. So it's something that only you can decide for yourself, whether you're being patient or procrastinating. But God demands of us and gives us many illustrations of patience in the Scripture. When you're reading your Bible and having your devotions, as you're reading through your Bible, now we do this with so many things, ask God to show you the verses that apply to being patient. But be careful, because He will. And when He shows them to you, they'll be convicting. And you realize that we're not as patient as we would like to think we're patient. The demonstration of patience, number three. Letter A, in the servants of God. The demonstration of patience in the servants of God. The verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience." As the ministers of God in much patience. It's 2 Timothy, let me look at the reference, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The requirements for a bishop, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, it's not there. It's going to be in Titus. There's one that says that he has to be patient. Oh, there it is. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3. "Not given to wine, no striker," that means his anger and temper, "not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." For a man to be in the ministry, whatever office he fills, he has to have patience. I know that's true, because anytime you're dealing with people, you have to have patience. So many jobs can say, you know, this job would be great if it wasn't for the people. And I hate to tell you this, folks, church, but the ministry is much like that too. Sometimes the pastor just has to be patient. Man, I want to straighten that guy out. Why in the world are they doing this, not doing this? What are they doing here? And you just want to get in there and make a mess out of the whole thing, just tear things apart. And you got to be patient. And it's hard to be patient sometimes when you're watching other people make bad decisions or not make right decisions. And so a servant of God has to have patience. Letter B, not only is it a demonstration and demanded of the servants of God, but letter B, in the saints of God. That includes all the church. Not just the leadership of the church, but every member of the church. Every member of the body of Christ. The Lord says His children are acceptable to Him when they patiently suffer wrong. Have you ever been falsely accused? Have you been unjustly slandered? All right, the Bible says that when we suffer wrong with patience, there's a reward for it. If we've done wrong and get rebuked for it, there's no reward for that. But if we've not done wrong and get rebuked, then there's a reward if we suffer it patiently. There's that word that keeps popping up. Notice the verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We're not talking about just letting people walk over you or run over you. But it's talking about being patient. Being patient. I'd like to give that guy a piece of my mind. Be patient. Many times you'll find out you didn't need to say anything. The Lord will take care of it. And sometimes when you and I jump into the situation, jump into the fray, we only get ourselves involved in something that we shouldn't have been involved in the first place. We need to be patient. Patient. I appreciate Brother John this summer. He's been coming out once a week and mowing my lawn. I've got 3/4 acre, and I've got a push mower. And I enjoy cutting the grass. I always enjoy doing it because it's good exercise. People have said, why don't you get a riding lawnmower? Well, two things. Number one, I don't have anywhere to store it, and I don't want to leave it out in the weather. That's not a good idea. And number two, I enjoy, as long as I can, push mowing it. It's good for me. It's good exercise. But poor John, because of my situation, volunteered, and I took advantage of him. And he comes out there. Now, he did get a big gallon of syrup, he and Beth, last week for partial payment on that. But he comes out, and he mows that lawn. Right next to my yard, there's a little ditch on this side and then a fence line. And right on the other side of the fence line are weeds. I mean, weeds and trees and all kinds of scrubs and all that just growing in there. The neighbors don't cut that part. They cut their yard, but they leave that up there. It really is useless. You know why it's useless? Because it never gets cut back. My yard, I can run in it. Erin can go out and play volleyball. Got a trampoline out there. She has friends over. They can run and play in the yard. Grandkids are over there out there throwing water balloons, having a blast. I can use my yard because it's been mowed. It's been cut down. The yard next door has grown up, and it's useless. Nothing you can do with it. The Lord sometimes has to send trials and tribulations to cut us short and develop our patience to make us useful. If He doesn't, we're of no use. Now, if that grass could talk, that grass, that big field next door, would probably be laughing and saying, look at that grass over there. It keeps getting cut shorter and shorter. It can't grow. It's not doing anything. But the truth of the matter is, it's got a use and a purpose, and that one doesn't. When the Lord sends these different situations into our life, He's mowing the grass. He's making us useful. He's doing something so we have a purpose. Thank God that He does that, that He doesn't just let us grow wild with no purpose. The saints of God have to have patience. Then number three, letter C, the demonstration of patience in the Son of God. In the Son of God. The best example of patience is the one who demonstrated it the greatest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The greatest example in Scripture, the greatest example in the world, in history, of patience is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hanging on the cross, suffering for something He did nothing wrong, and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He endured the cross. He suffered it. He showed the greatest example and demonstration of patience that could be shown. Number four, the development. I don't like this one. The development of patience. The development of patience. Patience is not a gift. As I said already, we jokingly say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. The Lord, you ask for patience? He can give you patience, but it's not going to be the way you think it is. We could say, Lord, give me muscles. You know how you get muscles? By exercising. They just don't, you know, don't wake up, you don't eat a bowl of Wheaties and the next morning wake up and just flex. Alright, you have to develop your muscles to get them. You don't wake up, you don't say, Lord, give me faith, and the next morning you wake up and you're just a master of patience, and you're a master of patience. You are the example of patience. It doesn't work that way. You have to develop it. You and I have to work at patience. That's why we struggle with it so much. The development of patience. To develop patience, one must be willing to pay the price. The marathon runner that trains and trains and trains to pay the price for what he... You just don't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to run 26.2 miles. You might run 26.2 feet. And that'll be the end of that. But the person that's going to do it has to develop that. That's the same thing with patience. Letter A. Patience is gained through trials. Patience is gained through trials. I know you knew that already, but I can't avoid it. Patience is gained through trials, James 1:3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I know why yesterday when I was driving 77 north, went on the circle here and got going north, this big blue late model pickup truck was in my lane going slow, so I got in the other lane to get around it. Then it sped up. And then it sped up and cut me off because it wanted to take the Columbus exit and didn't realize it was on the left instead of the right, as most exits are. So it turned out to be a she, but that's neither here nor there. But she cut me off right there as I was getting on, cut me off, and then slowed way down. Once she got on the exit ramp, slowed way down, and I'm sitting back there saying, Lord, did I ask for patience today? Did I make that mistake? And so I'm behind her, and she's doing this. Well, then she also didn't know, and it was a Ohio plate. Sometimes you always look at the plates and say, okay, they're from out of state. You know, they're from West Virginia. We understand. But it was Ohio plates. I pick on them all the time. It was a high place, and so she got on the ramp going, and she didn't realize that there's two lanes coming, and you have to merge because you know. So she's just flying around there, and all of a sudden she got the end of the merge and slammed on the brakes with me right behind her. And so I had to all of a sudden go to the right and dodge her and get in the other lane. And I got over in the far left lane, and she got over in the next lane. I thought, boy, I'm glad I got away from her there. Well, then she wanted to get off the Cambridge exit. So as I'm going here, she sped up and cut right in front of me there. It's a good thing I'm saved because the words that I was thinking weren't complimentary. And then she got off the exit and I followed her and all the way down to she pulled into where our church used to be down in that area, south side of Cambridge. But I don't know about you, but driving always tests my patience. Other drivers always test my patience. I'm a perfect driver and everybody else is an idiot. That's just how that works. But patience is developed through trials. You know what, really? If we can't handle driving without losing our temper, you know, road rage and all that stuff, if we can't handle driving without losing, we're in bad shape in the rest of life. If we can't even pass that test. Patience is gained through trials. Most of all, the trying of your faith. And a lot of things try and test our faith. That's what trying is. It's testing. Letter B. Not only is patience gained through trials, but patience is gained through tribulations. Oh, there's that word. Through tribulations. Romans 5:3. Says, the tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. What's the difference between trials? We always hear about trials and tribulations. What's the difference? Trials are testings. The average testings of life. Tribulations are extreme trials. Where the pressure is really on. The three Hebrew boys would not bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. They were going through a trial. They were told, when the music plays, you bow down to the statue. And the music played and they would not bow down. Nebuchadnezzar confronted them. Said, I'll give you one more chance. The music's going to start. The jazz band will get going and then you fall down and you worship the statue. The music started, they didn't bow down. That was a trial. And they withstood the trial. But what came next was the tribulation. He said, heat that furnace up 7 times more than it's usually heated. And he took those three boys up and cast them down into that fire. They still wouldn't bow, even when they were facing the fire. That's a tribulation. See the difference between the two? The trial, bow before that statue. No, we won't do it. The tribulation, you're going into the fire. An extreme trial. Not having enough food to feed your family is a trial. Not having any food is a tribulation. Now you'll have to stop and think about that because you've never been there. But there are many people in this world that have been there. That don't have anything, a father that doesn't have anything to feed his family at nighttime. The difference between trials and tribulations. Tribulation. I mean, if the trying of our faith worketh patience, how much more so? Tribulation worketh patience. Then number 5, the devotion to patience. The devotion to patience. Patience affects many different aspects of our Christian life. Patience is not just something that's for a certain time and a certain place. Patience is everywhere in the Christian life. In regards to the second coming, we read one verse already. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. We're to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. We're waiting. The Bible says over and over in the New Testament, watch and wait. Watch and wait. Those are good two key words in every situation in life. Watch and wait. Before you speak, before you act, watch and wait. And when it comes to the second coming, that's what the Bible says. Watch and wait. Be patient under the second coming of the Lord. When it comes to prayer, we need patience. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. In our prayer life, sometimes we pray for things for a long time before we get an answer. Sometimes we pray for things for a long time and never get an answer, which is the answer. When we pray for something for a long time, that's when you have to, it's hard to discern. Lord, are you saying no? Or are you just asking, are you just requiring of me to really ask? So the Bible says that I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He didn't answer the first time David prayed that. Then when it comes to running the race, or as we might just say, living the life, the Christian life in this world, you have to have patience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You remember in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about God's hall of faith. Abraham and Noah and Isaac and Sarah and David and Enoch and all those people that by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then at the end of the chapter, but some not receiving deliverance were sawn asunder. We're eaten by lions. We read about all those different things. Then chapter 12 says, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. That great cloud is talking about all those who were named in chapter 11. They're watching. When you go through a trial that you say, I just can't take this anymore, Job's up there saying, oh, come on. I had boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I was scraping myself with potsherd, and you can't get through what you're going through right now? We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So we run the race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.